There has been a great deal of talk out there about businesses taking on some of the responsibility for security, especially cybersecurity, in the wake of September 11th. Even John Tritak, who's the director of Critical Infrastructure Assurance, said that the government can't do it all. And in fact, business, industry, and people can do it more effectively. How do you feel about the state of cybersecurity right now?
Well, I have to agree with that statement. The government won't be able to secure every aspect of the internet. If you think about building islands of security, we tend to do that in the industry. And the smaller you make the islands and the more islands you have, the more secure you are. Mm-hmm. So putting a big island around the United States, for example, doesn't help protect things within the United States.
That reminds me of that analogy that they used to give with security, that most people secure their front door and their back door, but they don't secure the inside walls in addition to that. So once somebody got through the front door, that they would be able to get access to everything in your house. And I guess if you view the government that way, once people got through the front door in America, they'd be able to get access to every corporation.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing to look at is, as a business with a presence on the internet and providing services and storing information for your customers, suppliers, partners, there is a responsibility that goes along with that to provide the proper level of security and protection.
Can't just rely on the government.
Absolutely.
Well, what are some of the things that the companies are doing wrong?
I think the primary thing that we see companies doing wrong is not necessarily including security as a default cost of doing business, and not including the thought and actions around providing cybersecurity or information security as part of doing business.
It's like an afterthought. They graft it in later, not when they're developing their systems.
It's more of an add-on, correct. It's not built into a process. And the companies that are doing things right really are the ones that are establishing process, establishing education programs, making sure they have a proactive means of changing security as mm-hmm. changes happen in the industry or as changes happen in business partnerships.
Flexibility.
So, you know, the companies that are perhaps doing things wrong don't have as much of a process focus as the ones that are doing things right.
Well, I remember when I used to work for IBM Corporation, one of our main concerns was the lack of security of our end personnel. We felt that training was a big thing. You know, everybody's password was written on a little index card in the Rolodex called password, which was no way to have security going on. And you still find training to be a big issue with security, that not everybody's on the same page.
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that we stress with our customers and people we talk with is security awareness, as you said, the training issue, the training aspect for end users. And to understand that in most of the assessments that we have performed for companies, we find the weakest link is typically the people. So when you look at things like social engineering, being able to pose as a IT personnel and being able to gain information from the employees by just asking them for it, you can find that a lot of technology, a lot of process can be compromised very simply.
So awareness is a big piece of that. The first part of training in this aspect is to be aware that people will try to get your password from you in any means necessary, either posing as a pizza delivery man or posing as your IT help desk.
And one of the things that you do is this penetration testing, where you will go in and do these kinds of things. Does your testing include social hack, or is it just more of a technical?
It includes all aspects, including the social engineering kind of processes that we apply. So everything from, in the case of an attack and infiltration, it starts with only knowing a website address and knowing no other thing about a company.
Okay.
And doing what a hacker would do, discovering information about the company, discovering IP address ranges, discovering subsidiaries or other companies or other locations that may have an internet gateway, mm-hmm. and finding ways to get in. And once you've exhausted some of those technologies, whether it's, you know, remote access or just internet, you end up with finding other ways. So we do things mm-hmm. through physical penetration and social engineering. And there's many times where we can come into a client and say, we're from corporate. We're here to fix
yeah.
your network. And they say, finally, someone's here. And they just open up the door.
Yeah, we've been having that problem with that printer forever.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, you're in there downloading the server. Do you have to have hackers to make this work? Or, I mean, I know your guys are white hats, they're not black hats, but I mean, how do you find the right people to do this kind of work?
Well, that's a lot of questions. Do you need to have hackers? You need to have people who are experts at computer systems and networks. And you have to have people who are very creative about finding ways to break those systems and networks.
Okay.
So if you call those hackers, yes, we need those. But really, we need creative people and resourceful people.
Absolutely.
I would say that, if you think about companies that hire black hats, we really don't believe in that philosophy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they have a tendency toward malicious behavior, then it's suspect that they'll revert to that sometime, someday.
No, security is a big issue, and you can't just have those big holes
right.
with your people.
Well, we do full background checks on all our people, too, so it's part of our bonding process. But if you think about hiring a black hat who got caught, the first thing you would ask yourself is, if he's so good, why did he get caught?
Good point.
So.
And so your screening process is pretty intensive?
We have a very, very rigorous screening process.
I think the other thing is, how we actually go about finding candidates is probably a little bit different than some other companies. A lot of our personnel referrals are word of mouth, personal relationships, and we find that usually yields the best people for us. Many of our people have military backgrounds, and
okay.
so in some of the military governmental circles, we can find a good set of candidates from there as well.
Do you guys ever go to the hacker conventions? You find people there at those places?
We've never hired anybody from there. We've been there.
Yeah.
We use them as probably a testing, proving ground more than anything. We have a new product, for example. We take it out and put it in an active, hostile environment
mm-hmm.
and see what happens, see how the product responds. Look for new attack methodologies that we might not have seen before.
Right.
Absolutely. Hackers are no different than anybody else. They like to use the latest, greatest tools. And by participating in those conferences as an attendee, we're able to see new trends and techniques that are developing.
Well, and hackers aren't the only people that you have to be worried about, obviously. And I don't know if you can tell me, but what is like a typical profile, or what are the profiles of the people that are these intruders?
Well, it's really everything from the script kiddies that you read about. People are there doing lots of downloads from the internet with tools they found for free on the internet. Young adults, typically in that case, testing their knowledge, testing something for fun.
And showing off.
I'd say 90% of the transactions, security events that we see through our systems that we monitor for our clients are as the result of script kiddies.
One of the things I was going to say is I'd like to clarify that 90% of the traffic that we see are from the young script kiddies. But if you look at the FBI and search statistics, a higher percentage of the breaches, the security breaches that occur, are actually from the inside of the organization.
So the traffic's from these outsiders who don't know anything, but the people that actually make it are former employees or hacking people that are current employees?
It's not quite that black and white in that there's more breaches that occur from the inside. There are still certainly breaches that occur from the outside, and we see that all the time. But the noise, the traffic that gets generated is usually from the outside, from the script kiddies.
Separating the wheat from the chaff is what we do, part of our job. The difficult part, though, is finding it's really a threat profile that you need to be concerned about, not a hacker profile. The motivated attacker or a malicious person, what's their motivation? It could be a disgruntled employee. And certainly if that disgruntled employee comes from your IT staff and has administrator access, you have a large threat.
Yeah.
If it's a competitor, believe it or not, there are a lot more competitive hacks out there than people care to admit. One in four thefts of proprietary information are based upon competitors hacking each other's systems.
Oh, wow. Should these companies be more concerned about their employees than they currently are, and about how that they're, you know, maybe giving away the keys to the kingdom to too many people and so on?
I would say, to answer that in a general way, yes. Typically, when we talk to companies, they are much more focused and aware of the threats from the outside, and tend to, just because of the nature of the relationship, have a more trusting type of point of view about their own employees.
I think companies tend to be more trustful of their employees, and therefore tend to give role-based or access rights, tend to be overly generous with the access rights they give to their people by default. So yes, absolutely they should be. And many of the regulations nowadays, Gramm-Leach-Bliley, HIPAA, the new California law, SB 1386, are pointing to how do you protect the privacy of information. And much of that is proceeding along lines of making sure that people in the roles that have access to personal private information have restricted access, and other people can't get to it. So we're moving in that direction.
Yeah, so it's not just about outside hacks.
No,
yeah,
absolutely
and the
not.
Laws aren't being written for just outside hacks. Well, what should these, besides hiring you guys, what should these companies be doing? I mean, what's the general approach that they should be taking when it comes to security?
I think for the most part, they need to treat security as a risk management program.
Okay.
Which means it now becomes a business process. They have to think of it as a business issue. They have to put it in their business plans, in their business strategies, and they have to extend that strategy to their business partners and their clients, their customers.
I think from a technology aspect, the view of security that some people may have as network only is something that they need to address as well. They need to think of building security in the cyber systems as a layered process, starting with the network as the foundation, but then building on top of that platforms and at the final level applications.
If you want to talk about what things people can do today, certainly the things they should do is leverage the resources they have in place. Many people don't actually push difficult password policies to their employees.
Yeah.
They could actually use mixed case, numerics, special characters in the passwords that would actually make the passwords more useful.
Okay, yeah. When I used to work in as an IT specialist, I used to try to tell people to use the hard-to-guess or generated passwords, and there's been a lot of reluctance. I have 300 passwords. I don't need another one, and one that's hard to remember. But people are surprised at what they can remember.
Well, there's actually a metric that we suggest to most of our customers, which is you can download a password cracker for free off the internet, a hacker tool, and run it against your domain. And believe it or not, we typically say give it a 4-hour time frame and get what percentage of your passwords you can crack. And the first time they do it, it's typically over 90% that can be cracked in 4 hours or less.
I'm not surprised.
And the number one in Pittsburgh, obviously the top ones are Steelers, Penguins, Pirates, and Panthers, right?
Right.